Before we pray, there are several attributes of God which I would like to remind you of. And we can find these attributes in Psalm chapter 36 from verse 5 to 10. The Bible reads, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O continue in your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart." And from this passage of Scripture, we come to understand God's attributes, because when we look at verse 5, we find that the mercy of God is as high as the heavens. It's unmeasurable. His faithfulness is as far-reaching as the clouds. Think about that. From where you are right now, all the way up to the clouds. That's how far-reaching His faithfulness is. Verse 6 describes His righteousness, and it says it's like the great mountains, and His judgment are a great deep, meaning that He is holy and just in such a way that for us to understand just how righteous He is, or how just He is, David compared Him to the great mountains. Think of Mount Everest, the highest mountain on earth, at over 8,800 meters above sea level. God's righteousness is compared to that. Verse 6 also says, "You preserve man and beast." I believe this is for us to understand that God holds and preserves the entire universe. All of existence is preserved by the Lord. Verse 7 is one that I find to be most comforting. "There is nothing on this earth worthy to compare God's love to." So the psalmist simply describes His love as precious, meaning that God's love is of great value to us. It's not to be wasted or treated carelessly, but we should appreciate His loving kindness. We should be grateful, thankful that He loves us. Another Bible translation of verse 7 says, "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God." And how reassuring is that to know that God's love is unfailing? That's what makes it priceless. Because unlike the love of people, the Lord's love will never fail us. So if you need a reason to smile today, if you need a reason to be joyful, hear me when I say this. God loves you, and the love that He has for you is unfailing, and it's priceless. And so, with that understanding, let us pray. My Heavenly Father, I rejoice today because of Your precious love, because of Your unfailing love. There is no one, there is no other love comparable to yours in this world. John 3 verse 16 tells me that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that I may have a chance to be cleansed of my sins and saved. Out of love for me, Lord, you allowed your Son to go through unimaginable pain, all because you did not want me to perish, but to have everlasting life. I praise you for this, and I am overwhelmed at such a love as this. I am able today to boldly declare that I am loved by you, Lord. It's because of your precious love for me that I enjoy the blessings of warmth, shelter, and provision. Your mercy, Lord, is as high as the heavens. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for giving me another chance. I thank you for showing me mercy and for not rejecting me because of my uncleanliness. Lord, I want to take this time to offer up praises and thanksgiving to you. You are my Savior. You are my protector. You are my provider. And I simply want to thank you and appreciate you. I bless your holy name, Lord. And I thank you, King Jesus, for my loved ones and family. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my heart. I pray that you will work within me so that I may have a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart which looks beyond the material things of this world, but sees the peace that you have given me, the protection you have given me, the comfort you offer to me, even the many blessings that you have afforded me. I bless your name, Lord, because you are a God who is true to your word. For your word describes you as being the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same God you were in the past. And I know that I can trust in you in this present day and in the future. Psalm 118 verse 1 says, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Indeed you are a God who is good all the time. And I pray that I may be a person who is always filled with gratitude. I pray that I may always be a believer who sings your praises and offers prayers of thanksgiving to you. I thank you for being my healer. I thank you for being the giver of life. Thank you for sustaining me and for loving me. Today I step into your presence with gladness in my heart and with joy. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are more than enough to meet all of my needs, and you are worthy of all praise and glory. I am grateful to have you as my provider. You are holy and worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's been said that the life of a Christian is a marathon, not a sprint. How true that is. It's a lifetime commitment. A marathon that's long and hard, but oh, what a great reward and glory that awaits those who endure until the end. Now, some of us have been walking with Christ for many years. Others have only just recently come to faith. But all of us should long to share the desire to grow in our Christian journey, to grow in all areas, in faith, in strength, in spiritual maturity. Now, one desire that we should all have is to be productive in the kingdom of God, to be effective. So what is the sign of an effective Christian? The Bible tells us the answer: our fruit. I would like to highlight a few scriptures that we ought to be mindful of when it comes to how we should be running this marathon of life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Ephesians 2:10 reads, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Titus 3:14, "And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful." And Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." If we have truly put our faith in Jesus, our lives will show it. If we've truly been born again, our lives will show it. If we have truly been transformed, renewed, revived in our hearts, soul, and spirit, then our lives will show it. His love will permeate our hearts and overflow into every part of our lives. We will become more patient. We will become more compassionate and merciful. We will stand boldly for righteousness. We will seek to share the gospel with all who need to hear it. All these things are aspects of what it means to be an effective servant in God's kingdom. They are outward expressions of an inward belief. James 2:17 says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." We do good works not to earn salvation, but because we have already been saved. The Apostle John says that we love because Jesus first loved us. When we come to Jesus, he changes our desires, and he places new desires within us. And it's those new desires that change the way we live. We're compelled by gratitude and love for Christ to do his will here on earth. That transformation starts the day we are saved, but it lasts an entire lifetime. Now, don't get me wrong. In this journey, sometimes you will meet frustration. Sometimes we can feel stuck in our Christian walk. At times, it can even feel like we're moving in reverse. But we can be confident that if we seek God, we will find him. He will help us to grow in his perfect timing. So what does it mean to be an effective Christian? It's more than just praying and reading your Bible. It's more than just going to church every Sunday. It's even more than sharing the gospel with your neighbor or coworker. It's about making Jesus the king of your life. It's about surrendering to him and seeking his glory in everything you do, big or small. Being effective isn't just about doing good works. It's about the motive and intent driving your heart. It's about whose glory we seek when we do them. Our ability to bear fruit does not depend on our strength or inherent goodness. We rely completely upon God's grace, which is sufficient for us in every weakness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for sending your Son as the perfect sacrifice on my behalf. Thank you for bringing me from darkness to light, from death to life. You have given me a new heart, one that desires to love and obey you only. Lord, I ask that you would help me to honor you with everything that I am. Guide my every step. Lead me in how I live so that I may become more productive. Lead me in the choices that I make, King Jesus. In every situation, show me your will so that I can live a life that is pleasing to you and so that I can be an effective member of your kingdom. Lord, you know all things. You know the needs of my family. You know what I need to work on in my life. So help me to trust in your ways. Be the driving force behind all of my actions, goals, motives, and words. Let it all be done for your glory, Lord. Help me to rely on you for every endeavor. Let everything I do be to further your kingdom and your glory here on earth. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Lord, so long as I am in you, so long as I abide in you, I will bear much fruit. But apart from you, I can do nothing. Father, though I may water many seeds in this life, you are the one who gives me growth. You need nothing from me, and yet you desire to use me. Thank you, Lord, that your plan does not depend on my strength, my might, my willpower, but on your grace alone. Jesus, I desire nothing more than to come before you on Judgment Day and hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So help me be an effective Christian. Don't let me become idle or lazy in your kingdom. Don't let me become content with sitting back and waiting to one day enter heaven. Move me to action in this life. Use me to accomplish whatever it is that you desire. Use me to build your church. Use me to witness to lost souls. Use me, Lord, for your glory. Let me be a believer who demonstrates mercy, forgiveness, and kindness to others. Lord, use me to display your goodness to everyone around me. Stir me awake from the slumber of a comfortable life, because the plans you have for me are so much better than anything I could ever dream. Lord, you are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me as you will. Make me more like you each and every day. Forgive me when I fall short, and give me the wisdom to seek you first in every decision. Lord Jesus, I trust and believe that the trials you allow me to face will reveal the treasure that's inside of me. Lord, I accept that the afflictions you allow me to face will develop me and turn me into an empowered and effective member in the body of Christ. May you produce a new level of faith within me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the honor of coming before you today. I humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
When building a house, one of the most important things to consider is the foundation. You want a foundation that is firm, a foundation that is steady, so that it can support the weight of the rest of the house. If your foundation is too flimsy, then the rest of the house will quickly collapse, no matter how well built or beautiful the house is on the outside. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 to 27 says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So if I may ask, what foundation are you building your life on? Are you like the wise man who heard God's word and built his life around it? Or are you like the foolish man who heard but continued to go his own way? There are many foundations we can choose. For example, we can choose money or success or relationships. We can make these things the center of our lives and place our identity in them. But all these things will not last. They are fleeting. They can't support the weight of our eternal destiny. When the storms of life blow, one strong wind can tear all of them down in an instant. So you can choose those things. You can choose to have a foundation that is built on worldly things, but you will be severely disappointed. Or you can choose your foundation to be the unchanging Word of God. And when the storms come, you will not be moved. Psalm 62 verse 2 says, "He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." There are many things in life that can threaten to shake us. Tragedy, disappointment, betrayal, or hurt. When those things strike, we need a strong and sturdy frame to keep us upright. So praise God that He is able to absorb every ounce of pain and shield us from being destroyed. This world is constantly changing, but the Lord never changes. His promises and His word stand true throughout all of eternity, meaning that we can trust Him with our lives. We can trust Him to be the foundation that will never be moved, destroyed, or rocked. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever." All throughout the Bible, we can see how faithful God has been towards those whom He loves. We can even look back on our own lives and see examples of His constant and steadfast love. The God of those moments is the God of every day in the future. The Lord does not change. We can trust that just as He cared for us then, He will care for us all throughout our lives. He is the only one we can rely on. He alone is worthy of building our lives upon Him. And just as the old hymn goes, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, You are my rock and my salvation. You alone are the solid foundation on which I build my life upon. I will not trust in success or fame or relationships, but I will trust in Your word, in Your counsel and in Your commands, which are so much higher than the ways of this world. Jesus, You are the sure and steady anchor of my soul. You are the only source of absolute truth. You are the giver of true joy and satisfaction. And in following and obeying You, I pray that I will fulfill my life's purpose according to your will. Lord, there is nothing that could ever take your place. This world is fickle and ever-changing. But you, Lord Jesus, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your grace and mercy are constant through every season of my life. So I will put my hope only in you. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. He believed your word, and he structured his life around that truth, so that when the storms came, he was not shaken because you, Lord, were his foundation. I pray that this would be the picture of my life. In every decision, give me the wisdom to seek your will above all. Teach me to want what you want, to desire what you desire, to be obedient and go where you lead me, Father. I know that when I seek first the kingdom of God, everything I need will be added to me. When I am walking and dwelling in your spirit, everything else will fall into place. So I pray that everything I do will be firmly rooted in your grace. Let everything I do be in agreement with your word. I pray that you would have mercy over me and not allow me to be like the foolish man. The man who built his house on the sand. He heard your word, but rejected it in his heart. And he placed his trust in earthly things. The sand and the foundation of this world might appear to be sturdy at first. But Lord, anything apart from you will ultimately lead to collapse and ruin. Any pursuit that is apart from you, anything that is of this world, cannot support the weight of my soul. The things of this world can never satisfy me. It's only you who can satisfy. It's only you, Lord, who can feed the hunger in my soul. Every good in this life comes from you, Jesus. And even those situations which are uncomfortable and painful. Father, I know and I trust that they are designed to ultimately be for my good. And so I praise you, Lord. I praise you when I look at your goodness. I pray that you would open my spiritual eyes and help me to see that you alone are worthy of my devotion. You alone are worthy of my worship and trust. Help me never to place my trust in anything in this world. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help me to grow in my faith. Help me to build a strong foundation that is in Jesus Christ. So that when the storms of life rage, my house will stand firm in him. And when the wind howls, when the flood rises, when the doubts start creeping in, I can be confident that I am safe and secure in Jesus Christ because he is the solid foundation that I stand on. I give you all the glory and honor. I thank you for listening to this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Word of God says in Revelation chapter 3 verse 8, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Once God opens a door for you, no man can shut that door. No devil, no demon, nothing can close a door once the Lord has opened it. And some of you listening have been waiting. Some of you are waiting for the Lord to open new doors in your life. You are there waiting for that miracle, for that prayer request to be answered, waiting for that new opportunity to come your way. Well, I would like to encourage you to hold on to this word in Revelation chapter 3 verse 8. In fact, I urge you to meditate and claim this scripture. God has placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And what the Lord has for you will never pass you by. So have a heart that's filled with expectation. Expect good things to happen to you because Jesus Christ is good and He is faithful to His word. Expect blessings to come your way because God's word tells us in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 that He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So I declare that you are blessed of God. You are gifted and you are anointed. You are blessed because you are a joint heir in Christ. You are blessed and well able because you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. So start thanking God in advance. Begin to praise Him in advance. There are doors opening for you. There are blessings and good things coming your way in Jesus' name. Psalm 23 verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And I declare this upon you right now. Goodness and mercy will follow you. The Lord's goodness will not only chase you, but overtake you. Revelation 3 verse 8. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Saints, let's believe that the Lord will be faithful to His word. And let's claim and confess this word over our lives. Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, I praise you in advance for opening new doors of blessings in my life. I thank you in advance for opening new doors of opportunities. Where man might tell me no, I trust and believe that you, Lord, will say yes. Where people may reject me, I trust and I believe that you will accept me. I declare this to be a season of breakthrough, a season where I am propelled into my calling, a season that I realize my purpose. I pray in the name of Jesus and come against everything that may try to pull me back. I say that the blood of Jesus Christ has set me free and will push me forward. No longer will I take one step forward and two steps back. That cycle has to be broken today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. No longer will I be indecisive or impulsive? But I pray that I will have clarity of mind and sound judgment in all of my decisions. I will be led quietly and confidently by the wise counsel of the Holy Spirit. No longer will I accept being in detrimental habits. I will not accept things that drain my energy, things that lead me to procrastinate. I break those habits in the name of Jesus. I speak productivity into my life. I speak effectiveness over my hands. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, my hands are anointed. My ideas are blessed. My mindset is renewed, and I am effective in all that I do, whether it is in the kingdom of God or in my own career or business. I am highly favored and blessed of the Lord. It is not by my might nor by my power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. Lord Jesus, I stand on your word. I am believing and expecting your goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. Open the windows of heaven. May blessings shower down over my family and over my household. I speak the blood of Jesus for victory and for the power to overcome. Every door that the enemy tries to shut will be wide open in the name of Jesus. Every blocked door will be unblocked in Jesus' name. Every hindrance, every obstacle placed in front of a door that the Lord has opened for me will be removed by the angels of the Lord. I speak and declare that I am entering a new season of opportunities. I confess that God's hand is upon my life. The hand of God is leading me. He is moving me towards great things and new things. I praise your holy name, King Jesus, because you are the one who helps me to win all battles. You help me to overcome every struggle and challenge. You are the one that leads me beside still waters. So I submit to your leadership and authority. I trust you to continue guiding me in every area of my life. May I be found always to be in the right place at the right time, because of you, Lord. I praise you because I am blessed and highly favored by your love. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. New doors of blessings, new doors of favor are opening in our lives. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus, that assures me that when I ask in your name, I will receive. Your word assures me that I will find when I seek. And I thank you that if I knock on any door with you by my side, that door will be opened. Your word in Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." I thank you, Lord, for you alone are able to quench every desire, to meet every need, to break every chain and lift every burden through your mighty power. Lord, I pray and I believe that this will be a season where new doors will open in my life, because your word tells me in James chapter 1 verse 17 that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You are the source of every good and perfect gift. You are the source of all blessings and breakthroughs. I bless your name, and I give you glory and honor. Thank you for listening to this prayer, King Jesus. Amen. I would like to pray for divine restoration over your life. I pray that you will experience supernatural restoration over your household and over your family. If peace has been stolen from you by the enemy, then stand and agree with me that peace will be restored in Jesus' name. If you find that joy is now absent in your heart and in your soul, then stand and agree with me that the joy of the Lord will be restored in Jesus' name. If there is any unrest in your mind, if there is any conflict or confusion, believe that your portion in the Lord is to have a sound mind. You have been given clarity by the Lord. Your portion is to be led to still waters. So stand and agree with me that clarity will be restored. You will find and have rest in your mind, in Jesus' name. God can restore what's been lost or broken. And I would like to tell you that some things are worth fighting for. And this fight is one that is done on your knees. So I encourage you not to sit there with a defeated attitude. Don't allow the devil to wreak havoc and steal whatever he desires. Be strong in the Lord. I encourage you to fight for restoration over your life. Pray to the Lord, because He is faithful. Your strength has to be renewed. Your energy must be renewed. Your marriage must be restored. For some of us, we're seeking restoration and healing in our bodies. For others, it's restoration in our minds, because the devil has torn apart the peace that we once had. But in the name of Jesus, I want to believe, and I want to encourage you to believe, that the Lord is well able. He is well able to restore that which has been destroyed or lost. He is able to rebuild and restore above and beyond what we could ever begin to imagine or think. God is a God of restoration. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 25 and 26, the word of God says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Stand and believe that the Lord will restore the years that the swarming locust has eaten in your life. You will eat plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. The Bible says in Job chapter 42 verse 10, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The Bible also says in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6, I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back, because I have compassion on them, and they shall be as though I had not rejected them. For I am the Lord, their God, and I will answer them. Stand and believe that the Lord will bring back and restore all that has been lost or destroyed in your life. He has compassion on you, and He will answer your prayer. Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, I declare and confess your word in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 18. I believe that you will make rivers flow on all barren ground in my life, and you will make springs come to life within the dry valleys that I face. You will turn the desert into pools of water before me. You will restore all that has been lost and broken in my life. Father, you know all of my deepest pain. You know all that hurts me. I pray that you would restore my vision, so that I will be able to walk by faith and not by sight, so that I can see beyond my current situation. I believe that you will restore my hope in life. You will restore to me strong and trustful expectation in your word and in your promises. I pray for divine restoration to each and every person under the sound of my voice. Health and healing will be restored in our bodies. Blessings and goodness will be restored in our lives. Peace and unity, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, will be restored in our lives. Divine peace and unity will be restored in our homes, in our families, and in our marriages. You are the God who makes all things new. So I pray that you would meet the needs of the person who desperately longs for healing and restoration. To those who are in need of financial breakthrough, be their provision, Lord Jesus. In your word, you say in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. You are the resurrection of life, King Jesus. So I ask that you resurrect my faith. Fuel my passion and fire for your kingdom. Quicken my spirit, man. Today I fully surrender to you, Lord. You are a sovereign God who has all power in His hands. I pray that you would help me to have expectant faith as I wait for you to move and do a new thing in my life. So I commit myself to you. I trust you for restoration. Help me to be patient as I wait on you. I pray for your presence to abide in my home and all around me. Lord, with you around me, then instead of fear, I will have a sense of calm and safety. Your word in John chapter 15, verse 5, says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I pray, King Jesus, that I would be effective and fruitful in your kingdom. If I have lost my productivity or effectiveness as a Christian, I pray that you would restore it back to me so that I can bear much fruit in your kingdom. Psalm 71, verse 20 and 21 says, "Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort once more. I will trust in you, Lord Jesus, to restore my life again, to rebuild my hope, faith, and joy again, and cause no trouble to overwhelm me. I bless your name, and I thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen."
Our aim as children of God should be to become more like Christ. I say this because the Bible in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." We ought to walk just as Jesus did. That means our prayer should be, "Lord, I want to walk like you did. Teach me how to love like you did. Teach me how to be obedient, just like you were. Teach me how to be forgiving, just like you were. And of course, teach me how to pray like you did." As you are listening, I want to encourage you and let you know that once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 24 says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have not heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." People of God, let's put away the old sinful nature of the flesh. This is not a time to be living in sin. It's not the time to be lukewarm. Be renewed in your spirit. Be renewed in your mind. I encourage you to have a burning desire, a yearning to live for Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Indeed, we should no longer be slaves to sin. We should no longer be slaves to the flesh or to the world, because we, as believers, are born of God. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are washed and sanctified by His blood. As new creatures in Christ, we should therefore walk by faith and not by sight. We should walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let us pray. Dear King Jesus, thank you for your goodness. In you, Lord Jesus, we have redemption through the power of your blood. We have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of your grace and mercy. I pray that sin would not reign in my mortal body. Give me the strength not to obey the flesh and its lusts. Purify me so that I may not be an instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but instead, may I be obedient to your call and present myself as an instrument of righteousness to you, Lord. As a vessel ready and willing to be used for your glory and for your kingdom. Your word says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." I thank you for this word, Father. Sin has no dominion over me. Not lying, not idolatry, not pride, not unforgiveness. I declare, according to your word, that sin has no dominion over me, in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. This is my portion in Jesus' name." Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption in Christ. Help me to set aside the old self with its evil practices. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, and help me to put on my new self in Christ. Help me to be renewed in my mind, soul, and spirit, so that I can be a believer who has not only been renewed, but also a person who has come to the true knowledge of my identity in Christ. I pray that I may be more and more like my Savior. May I walk just as Jesus did, so focused on the work of the Father. I want to walk like you did. I pray that my heart would be filled with the love of God, so that even the unbelievers in this world may see the light of Christ within me. Help me to grow in obedience, in forgiveness, in self-control, and discipline. Romans 6 verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." I confess and declare that I am no longer a slave to sin. I am not a slave to fear. I am not a slave to unrighteousness or to the flesh. I declare that through the power of Christ, I do not walk in darkness, but in the light of God and His Word. Through the power of Jesus Christ, I do not walk in lies, but I walk in His truth. I do not walk in the desire of the flesh, but I walk by faith. I walk in the Spirit. I am not of this world, nor am I conformed to it. Father, your word says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Help me to add